Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Psalm chapter 57. Last week I started this three-part series that we're going to be in that I'm calling Hunting Lions with a Squirt Gun. And last week we were in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we looked at that passage where Peter very explicitly compares the enemy, our adversary, the devil, to a roaring lion. And we unpacked that last week about just how serious our adversary is. He's not playing around. He has every intent to tear us limb by limb. Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Because Jesus was very clear about the intent of the enemy. Jesus said, the enemy, the adversary, the devil has three very specific goals. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know how much clearer we can get about the intent of the enemy, the devil, our adversary. He is not playing around. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And we see it happening every day. There's not a week that goes by that we don't hear a story of how the devil goes around looking for someone to devour, gets his claws into a friendship and tears it apart, or a church, or some civic organization, or a marriage. The list goes on and on and on. The devil is actively looking to steal, kill, and destroy. He is definitely not playing around. And so the title of this message really is hopefully for us to think, how am I going to defeat this adversary? How am I going to overcome the devil? How am I going to have victory over the enemy? If we are not people of prayer, diligent, earnest, daily, continuous prayer, for us to try to defeat the enemy would be as silly and as frivolous as hunting a lion with a squirt gun. And last week I had fun squirting some of you. This week will be no different. This week I even had to size up a little bit, and here's why. Because after church last week, some of you caught me kind of off guard. People who I would least suspect said, well, you can dish it out, but can you take it back? And I'm a little frightened to see if some of you are packing heat, you know, today. I'm very tempted to check some of your purses, and you know who I'm talking about. Who knows? This could be a full-blown water gun fight next Sunday after church if we're not careful here. For us to try to take on the devil without prayer is as frivolous as trying to hunt a lion with a squirt gun. Another way of saying that, it would be as frivolous as trying to eat soup with chopsticks, right? There are some things you just can't do, and you cannot take on the enemy, the adversary, the devil, without being a man or woman of prayer. You may remember in Mark chapter 9, there's this incredible story of a father who brought his son to Jesus, and the son had an impure spirit, and it had plagued him all his life. And it's a very sad scene, and the disciples tried to cast the demon out, and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus did his thing and had mastery over the enemy over this unpure spirit. And they said to Jesus, well, you were able to drive out the demon. Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, because this kind can only come out by... Now, I'll tell you the word that Jesus said, but we sometimes like to fill in the blanks, right? I mean, of all the words Jesus could have said, I mean, he could have said, well, you could have done it by, singing the right worship song. You could have done it by going to the right conference. You could have done it by finding the right church. You could have done it by reading the right book. I mean, there's a million things Jesus could have said that would have showed them how to have victory over this impure spirit. Jesus said, this kind can only come about through prayer. Prayer. We cannot defeat the enemy and have victory in our Christian walk if we are not people of prayer. And so I have this week, as I gave out last week, another prayer journal to give to someone. If you want to join me in taking your prayer life to the next level, see me after church. I've got another prayer journal to give away. I gave one away last week. I'll give away another one next week. This is a beautiful leather-bound prayer journal. Each page has a prayer prompt. Let me share with you the prayer prompt. It's a prayer of John Wesley. John Wesley writes this, one of his prayers. Author of life divine, who hast a table spread, furnished with mystic wine and everlasting bread, preserve the life thyself hast given, and feed and train us up for heaven. Our needy souls sustain with fresh supplies of love, till all thy life we gain, and all thy fullness prove, and strengthened by thy perfect grace, beheld without avail thy face. And so if you're interested in this, I'd be happy to give it to you. See me after church. I just ask that you use it daily and then maybe share how God is using you as you are journaling through this prayer journal. But if we don't pray diligently on our knees in our prayer closet, continuously, with urgency, it's as frivolous as trying to hunt lions with a squirt gun. Psalm 57. As the author here, who happens to be David, is facing another set of lions that he's dealing with, and we'll see how he was able to overcome this incredible challenge that he was dealing with in his life. Because you can't go through life without challenges, right? Life is filled with challenges. So how are we going to overcome them? How are we going to live in victory? How are we going to live with power over the enemy, the adversary, the devil? Psalm 57, I'll read the entire chapter. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Oh, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And I want to pray this morning, but just like last week, I want to share and pray the prayer that Sue sent me again this morning, a new prayer. Precious Sue sends me prayers every day, and I cherish them. I need them. And this was her prayer this morning, and it will be our prayer together today. Father, we honor you above all else in our lives. Thank you for filling all our needs today. Still us as we seek to hear what you need us to do today. Bless those in the pulpit with messages that each person needs in their life. May you find us worthy to be called your children. Direct each individual path to where your purpose will be fulfilled. We dance before you with exceeding great joy. Thank you for your everlasting life and the freedom, joy, and peace we find in you, in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. And thank you, Sue, for your prayers. Keep them coming. Well, if you've followed my latest hobby, at the end of May, I got one of those new e-bikes. And man, I love it. I got it, put it together. And so I've had this e-bike for 2.5 months now. End of May, here we are in the middle of August. And as of last night, I put 817 miles on it. That's a lot of traveling around town. And it's been a real conversation starter. I can't tell you how many 10-year-old boys who are riding their regular bikes look at me and go, "That's a cool bike," you know? So I am really cool with the 10-year-old demographic in town. It's kind of cool. Also with the little old ladies, you know, I'll be at a stoplight and one lady rolled down her window and she said, "Is that one of those e-bikes?" And we had a nice conversation. So I'm cool with the little old ladies in town too. So it's kind of cool. And I love it. Last night I was on it and I stopped and took this picture. This was about 8:15 last night. The picture doesn't do it justice, but last night was just a beautiful sunset. In those moments, I'll stop and take in God's beautiful scenery and pray for someone and then start up again. But something happened to me 2 weeks ago as I was riding around on a path, something that's never happened to me before in my life. I was bitten by a dog. I've gone my whole life and never, not even been nipped by a dog. But 2 weeks ago, I was just doing my thing, riding down a path, enjoying. And I see this guy walking, and he had his dog with him. And I don't know what type dog it was, but it was a pretty good-sized dog. And the guy had a cigarette in his mouth, and he may have been a little bit woozy. And the dog wasn't on a leash. But I slowed down because the guy wanted to talk to me. And so I came to a stop, and the guy was mumbling words to me, and I'm trying to make sense. It's kind of hard to have a conversation when someone's got a cigarette in his mouth and he's had a little too much to drink. And I didn't think really anything of the dog, but the dog kind of made a circle around him, and I wasn't paying attention, but he kind of made a circle around me and then came over here, and I'm trying to have a conversation with the guy. And then all of a sudden I feel this right on my calf of my left leg. I was stunned. I just didn't know what had happened, and because I'd never been bit by a dog before. And then I looked, and the dog kind of comes around, and the owner goes, "Oh, no, what, you know?" And then the owner said this to me. He looks at me, and he goes, I meant to tell you he doesn't like bikes." And I thought to myself, don't you think you should have started the conversation with that little bit of knowledge? And I was more stunned than anything. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take off and I'm going to go home and make sure everything's okay. And I get home and I look at it and, you know, the dog, it didn't really bite in. There was no blood. Just kind of a nice little circle where his mouth was, you know. And I just kind of wash it off with some water. But, you know, I was kind of proud of myself. I got back up on my bike and I finished my ride, you know. I was not going to let that deter me, but I will say it did kind of sting. But I thought of this verse here where the psalmist says, I'm forced to dwell among ravenous beasts. We have to be on our guard, as I talked about last week. We have to constantly be watching and being alert and being aware. Because dogs will do what dogs do to a stranger. Lions are going to do what lions do. And the enemy is going to do what the enemy does. And the psalmist says here, I'm in the midst of lions. Now in this context, he's talking about people. People who want to devour him. People who want to take him down. He says, I'm in the midst of lions. I'm forced to dwell among ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are like spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Have you experienced this in your life? People who have nothing good to say about you. People who talk bad behind your back. People who would want to do you harm. People who have ill intent towards you. People who want to see you fall. People who do not have your best interests at heart. Have you been subjected to this? My guess is most of us have. And the psalmist here calls them ravenous beasts. Let me give you just a little bit of the context here of Psalm chapter 57 in the life of David. By the way, we are going to show the brand new animated movie that came out a few months ago called David, put out by Angel Studios. We're going to show that here in this room at the end of September. I believe it's September 25th. It's a Friday, and we'll give you more information. We took the Mullins boys several months ago when it came out in the theater and saw it, and I was very impressed. You know, they take some liberties and they fill in some of the blanks, but overall, the message was beautiful. The soundtrack and the music is lovely. They did a really good job with it. And so we'll be showing the animated movie David in a few weeks in this room. I would encourage you to come. They do a really good job with the life of David. But they do talk about this portion in David's life, where Saul was very jealous and he saw David as a threat. And Saul wanted to kill him. And David was on the run. He was a fugitive. He was hiding, literally for his life. The situation was desperate, and it is not an understatement to say that it was dangerous. David had a real fear for his life, and he calls this danger of Saul's men seeking to hunt him down, he calls them lions, ravenous beasts. And it was a very severe, dire situation for David. He was surrounded by enemies. We read that in verses 4, 5, and 6 of Psalm chapter 57. But what's interesting in this chapter is we have these verses in 4, 5, and 6 where David is fearful. He's crying out to God. My life is in danger. I have a very real chance of dying here. But what's interesting in this chapter is that he bookends this very real danger, verses 4, 5, and 6, with prayer. This is how David approaches this dilemma. And so if you look at verses 1, 2, and 3, these are verses for cries of mercy. He seeks refuge in God's provision. He says in Psalm 57, verse 1, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. God, if there's any chance that I'm going to survive this, it's because I'm taking refuge in you. My hope is in you. And then he gives this beautiful picture of taking refuge in the shadow of your wings. Just like a mother hen would take her wings and cover her babies. The picture here is God covering, protecting David from these ravenous beasts. He says, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me. And so when you find yourself also being under attack from lions and ravenous beasts, It would be frivolous and hopeless to try to take them on in your own strength and in your own power. Find refuge in God. Seek your salvation in Him, for He is your refuge. And then he talks about the danger that he's facing in verses 4, 5, and 6. But then he goes on, and beginning at verse 7 down through verse 11, and he actually praises God before the deliverance comes. And he continues to pray and praise God. Verse 7, my heart is, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Verse 9, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you. And then he goes on and he declares the love and faithfulness of God. And then in verse 11, he exalts God and his glory above all the earth. You see, David did not take on these lions and beasts on his own. There's no way he could have. And whatever troubles you're dealing with, you don't have to take them on your own. The Lord is with you. Cry out to him. Fall upon his mercy. Sing praises to him, for he will be with you. He put his hope in God. But there are those who do not trust in God. And so I would say prayerlessness is also a form of foolishness. If you go back just a few chapters in Psalm 53, look at Psalm 53:1. Psalm 53:1 says this: the fool says in his heart, or in her heart, there is no God. And so without prayer, there is hopelessness, but without God, there's a sense of foolishness. And without prayer, there's also a sense of arrogance. I can do this without God? Yeah, I can do this without God. How arrogant can we be to think that we can take on these challenges and these real dilemmas that we face without God? There's a sense of hopelessness there. There's a sense of foolishness, but also a sense of arrogance. The fool says in their heart, there is no God. But David here shows us, he takes his refuge, his hope, his provision from God. But this really shouldn't surprise us if you know about the life of David, right? Because this has been his M.O. He has been here before, not just with figurative lions, but with literal lions and bears, oh my. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And when you think of the life of David, this is the story that comes to mind. Because not only did David face lions and ravenous beasts and bears, but he faced a giant, a literal giant, named Goliath. And his MO in dealing with Goliath was the same that we see here in Psalm chapter 57. And so let me just close with this refresher of how David dealt years earlier with a giant that wanted to destroy him, take him out, and kill him. Look at 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 32. And so this giant Goliath was heckling, harassing God's people. Send me someone to take me on, you know. He was cursing God, making fun of God's people, harassing them, giving them a hard time, bullying them, menacing them. Giant of a man that no one could take down. And no one in Saul's army dared to try to take him down. That's the context. And then in verse 32, David, anointed by God, filled with God's Spirit, we read this. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. No one else wanted to take on Goliath. David, who was filled with the Spirit of God, a young man of prayer, who had solid faith, said, I'll take on this giant. Verse 33, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. Get this in verse 37. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Notice what David is saying here. He's not at all saying, I can do this on my own. I got this. No. He said, the Lord, who's rescued me before, will rescue me again. Oh, to have that kind of confidence in God. Amen? Amen. Oh, to be people of prayer who pray with confidence and say, God, you will help me defeat every lion and every bear and every giant in my life. I can't do it on my own, but the Lord will rescue me. We must be people of prayer who call out daily on the name of the Lord our God. We can have victory over the enemy. We can have victory over the adversary. We can cast out impure spirits. We can flee from the devil. But it's not in our strength. It's only in prayer, in the name of the Lord our God Almighty. Amen? Recite this prayer with me as we close in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.